U.S.-led military coalition convoy reportedly comes under attack in Iraq's central province of Babel. Senior NATO officials say U.S.-led troops plan to stay in Afghanistan beyond a May deadline, a move that could escalate tension with the Taliban. And Iran's foreign minister says his country is ready to facilitate talks between the Afghan government and Taliban militants. Appreciate you being with us. First story takes us to Iraq this hour, where reports coming out of Iraq suggest that a U.S.-led military coalition convoy has come under attack in the center of the country. Iraqi media say the convoy carrying logistical equipment was targeted by a booby-trap bomb in Babel province. Still no word on possible casualties or damage. U.S.-led forces and their supply convoys have come under attack in Iraq in the past months amid growing anti-American sentiments there. Anger mounted after the U.S. assassinated top Iranian general Qasem Soleimani and senior Iraqi commander Abu Mahdi al-Mohandes near Baghdad last January. Following the assassination, the Iraqi parliament passed a resolution calling on the government to end the presence of U.S. forces in the country. From Iraq, we turn to Afghanistan, where foreign troops plan to stay now beyond a May deadline set in a deal between Taliban militants and the U.S. Well, that's according to several NATO officials. The senior officials have said international forces would not fully withdraw by April end, saying conditions are yet to be met. They told Reuters that with the new administration in the U.S., there will be changes, and NATO needs a more calculated exit strategy. Former U.S. President Donald Trump and Taliban militants signed the deal back in February of last year. The Taliban pledged certain security guarantees in return for the full withdrawal of foreign forces from Afghanistan. Now, the new pullout plan is expected to escalate tensions there. The Taliban and the U.S. have already accused each other of violating the deal. Iran's foreign minister says his country is ready to facilitate talks between the Afghan government and Taliban militants. Mohammad Javad Zarif has said an inclusive government should be formed in Afghanistan with the participation of all ethnic and political groups. He urged the Taliban to focus on an immediate end to problems of Afghans so that the establishment of peace strip outsiders of a pretext to occupy Afghanistan. The top Iranian diplomat made the remarks in a meeting with the Taliban delegation in Tehran. The delegation was led by the head of the Taliban's political bureau, Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar. He said the formation of an inclusive government is required for the establishment of peace in Afghanistan. Political analyst Elijah Magnier says regional countries must settle their issues without foreign meddling. He says Iran's diplomatic efforts concerning Afghanistan should be seen in this light.
It is very important for the countries of the region to sort out their problems without an outside interference. This is what is pushing Iran to support the Afghan internal talk between the Taliban and the Afghani government, regardless what the role of the U.S. Government can be. Because we saw that the U.S. is saying, we want to withdraw, we don't want to withdraw, we want to review, we would like to keep some forces to fight terrorism, so we can, the countries of the region cannot rely on foreign forces to sort out their own problem. This is why it is the best way is for Afghanistan to be in contact with its neighboring, like Iran, like Russia, like Pakistan, to sort out their problems and to make sure there is a valid and adequate mediation to bring all the parties together around the table and hold a domestic talk among the Afghani without outside forces, particularly the US or Europe.
And now to Iran, which is marking the 42nd anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution of 1979. The historic event is marked every year with a 10-day celebration. Now, this year, however, the event is being marked differently due to the coronavirus pandemic. Our correspondent Yusuf Jalali reports.
Iran has kicked off the annual celebrations, marking the anniversary of the victory of the 1979 Islamic Revolution. The nationwide celebrations start on the anniversary of the homecoming of the late founder of the Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini, after several years of exile, and ends on the anniversary of the victory of the revolution. As of every year, the ceremonies began with a visit by leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, to Imam Khomeini's mausoleum. Located south of the capital, Tehran, the mausoleum hosts senior Iranian officials as well as ordinary people, especially on the first day of the celebrations.
Like every year, we came here in this holy place to pay respect to Imam Khomeini, a man who changed the course of history in our country, a man who led Iranians toward their ideals.
Led by Imam Khomeini, the Islamic Revolution was driven by anti-imperialist sentiments, since former Iranian monarch Mohammad Reza Pahlavi was heavily dependent on Western powers, especially the U.S. People sought to establish a new political system that was based on their will and Islamic values. And that was the Islamic Republic.
The Islamic Republic means that a Muslim nation like Iran needs to have an Islamic constitution and an Islamic lifestyle. During the Shah period, other countries like the U.S. made decisions for us, something which was not accepted by our people.
To me, as a person who has not seen the revolution, such ceremonies can help acquaint me with the character of Imam Khomeini and what led Iranians to rise against the Shah.
This year, authorities in charge of the 10-day ceremonies say no mass gatherings will be allowed due to the coronavirus pandemic. Instead of public celebrations, Mehrabad Airport hosted a motorcycle parade by Iran's armed forces. Through the route Imam Khomeini took from the airport in 1979, as millions of people flocked to the streets to welcome him.
To Iranians, the 10-day dawn is reminiscent of their struggle for independence. Those voices have echoed through the decades and have been heard by different generations. This year, the occasion is marked without mass celebrations amid the coronavirus pandemic. But organizers say the message is the same. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Well, at least hundreds of Palestinian inmates in Israeli jails have tested positive for coronavirus. And this comes amid Israel's defiance against international calls to respect basic rights of Palestinians and to provide them with medical care during the pandemic. Mona Kandil brings us more from the West Bank.
With Israel's failure to contain the spread of coronavirus in Israel and the Palestinian-occupied territories, at least 200 Palestinian prisoners held in Israeli jails tested positive in January, bringing the total number of Palestinian prisoners who have been infected with the coronavirus to more than 350, according to Palestinian Prisoners Affairs Commission. The commission accused the Israeli prison administration of depriving the Palestinian inmates of medical care. The commission also said the increase of cases among the Israeli soldiers was the first source of a transmission of the virus to the Palestinian prisoners.
We are following with great concern the spread of the virus among the Palestinian prisoners. We hold Israel accountable for the health of the Palestinian inmates. Israel must respect international law.
During a protest held in support of the Palestinian prisoners in the occupied city of Ramallah, Palestinian officials and prisoner rights groups called on the international bodies to intervene and put an end to the medical negligence practiced by the Israeli prison administration against Palestinian prisoners. They say Israel must vaccinate the estimated 4,500 Palestinians held in its jails against COVID-19.
Today, the international community must step in and save the lives of our Palestinian inmates. Israel must be held accountable for its crimes and policies towards the prisoners. This should be done through global pressure on Israel.
Israel has already begun to vaccinate its population. This comes as the regime denies Palestinians in the occupied lands of the vaccine. International rights groups have slammed Israel for the move, calling on it to remain faithful to its commitments under international treaties. Under the Geneva Conventions, Israel must provide vaccines not only to prisoners held in its jails, but also to those living under its occupation in the West Bank and also in the besieged Gaza Strip. This definitely is raising political and public health questions about Israel's responsibilities to the Palestinians as an occupying regime. Mona Qandil, occupied Ramallah.
Yemen has hailed Italy's decision to stop arms sales to Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. The Yemeni Ministry of Human Rights, however, says what matters the most is an end to the Saudi war and the lifting of the blockade. Our correspondent in Sana'a, Abdullatif Al-Washali, explains.
Italy has decided to stop arms sales to Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates to restore peace in Yemen and to protect human rights. The decision cancels deals to sell 12,700 missiles to Saudi Arabia and billions of dollars in other weapons to the UAE.
We hope this decision will be implemented. Though late, it highlights the seriousness of what Yemenis have been subject to in terms of death and destruction caused by such weapons exported to Saudi Arabia, the Emirates, and other countries participating in the aggression against Yemen.
The Ministry of Human Rights praised the Italian decision and described it as positive but late, calling on the rest of the countries supporting the Saudi-led coalition to stop supplying weapons, stressing that what is more important is to stop the war and lift the siege that has caused more deaths than weapons have.
We remember that lately some countries such as Spain and Germany decided to temporarily stop selling weapons to Saudi Arabia and then retreated, perhaps due to political pressure. We expect that after these popular campaigns, there will be wider decisions in the rest of the countries as well. We need the war and siege to be stopped in order to save the lives of women and children.
These decisions came after 6 years of war and siege imposed by the U.S.-backed Saudi-led coalition on Yemen, which violated international human rights law by targeting civilians, including women and children, and led to the worst humanitarian crisis in the world, according to the United Nations.
Yemenis hope that the rest of the countries will stop their support for the Saudi-led coalition and that these decisions will be the first real steps toward ending their continuous suffering since the beginning of war in 2015. Abdullatif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
A car bomb attack has rocked Somalia's capital, Mogadishu. The bomb went off near a checkpoint. It was followed by gunfire between militants and security forces at a nearby hotel. Police said there were casualties, but the numbers were unknown. Al-Qaeda-linked Al-Shabaab militants claimed responsibility. The group said its members had gone into the hotel after a suicide car bomb. Al-Shabaab has been engaged in bloody militancy in Somalia since 2006 in an attempt to undermine the central government. Well, the Indian Prime Minister has accused farmers who have been protesting against new farm laws for a month now of causing insult to the country by storming the capital's landmark, Red Fort. Narendra Modi also defended his government's policies, saying it is committed to modernizing agriculture. His comments came just days after a tractor rally by farmers on the country's Republic Day turned violent, leaving one dead and hundreds of others injured. Some protesters also broke into the historic Red Fort complex. On Saturday, they also observed a day-long mass hunger strike coinciding with the death anniversary of the father of the nation, Mahatma Gandhi. Tens of thousands of farmers have camped out on the outskirts of New Delhi, demanding the government repeal the new laws. They argue the agricultural reforms would leave them at the mercy of large corporations. Nearly a dozen rounds of talks between farmers and government representatives have failed to make a breakthrough. Moving on to other news this hour, the daily cases and deaths from the coronavirus remained high in several European countries. Britain on Sunday reported over 21,000 new infections and nearly 590 new deaths. The country has the highest death toll from the virus in Europe, with over 105,000 fatalities. Britain tightened restrictions earlier this month, a few weeks after it identified a new COVID variant that spreads faster. In Italy, authorities reported 237 new deaths and over 11,000 new cases. Italy has the second highest death toll in Europe. The country has over 75,000 deaths out of more than 2.4 million infections. Another hard-hit country, Germany, reported nearly 400 new COVID deaths on Sunday. Meanwhile, Britain says it will apply to join a Trans-Pacific trading bloc on Monday as part of its post-Brexit plans.
The only way we're going to recover the economy after COVID is by more trade. One of the things I'm announcing today is our plans to join the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a group of fast-growing nations, so we can expand global trade.
Truss said she will make the requests in talks with her counterparts in Japan and New Zealand. She said negotiations with the bloc will start later this year. The bloc is called the Comprehensive and Progressive Trans-Pacific Partnership. It has 11 members, including Australia, Canada, and Vietnam. Membership of the bloc would offer Britain access to economies that represent around 13% of the global economic output. London's efforts to join come a month after it formally withdrew from the European Union. Now to Russia, which has slammed the U.S. over its condemnation of Moscow's response to protests in support of detained Kremlin opposition leader Alexei Navalny. Russia has accused the U.S. of gross interference in its internal affairs. It said the U.S.'s support for the unauthorized rallies is yet another confirmation of its role behind the scenes. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has condemned what he called Russia's persistent use of harsh tactics against peaceful protesters and journalists. Navalny's supporters have taken to the streets for a second straight weekend to protest his detention. During the latest rallies, over 4,000 people were arrested across Russia. Navalny was arrested earlier this month after returning from Germany. Marina Kortanova in Moscow says security measures have been ramped up in the capital and several other Russian cities in response to the protests.
In Moscow and other cities, the authorities were preparing for the event in advance. They warned about their illegality and detained activists and journalists, blocked streets and squares. According to the latest data, over 1,000 people were detained throughout the country. As for Moscow, it is very difficult for protesters to gather because the center of the capital, there are unprecedented restrictions. There are restrictions on pedestrian and transport traffic, and authorities closed 7 metro stations at the entrance and exit, changed public transport routes, they restrict pedestrian traffic, and there are metal fences around the Kremlin. On main streets, the fences are guarded by employees of the Ministry of Internal Affairs and Rosgvardia. Some streets are blocked by communal equipment. So the central administration of the Ministry of Internal Affairs in Moscow has published a map of the overlap of streets and metro stations on its website. This map is very popular now because, real Moscovites are shocked. Throughout history of Moscow, we have never seen such events, such red map. The whole center is closed. And the Ministry of Internal Affairs warned of responsibility up to criminal for participation in unauthorized rallies, demonstrations, processions, and pickets. And anyone who pulls out at least some poster is immediately detained.
And with that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thank you all so much for staying with us.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm Eric Shmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of first six. My dad, who is from India,
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, January 31st, 2021. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are read through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast, or if you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Remember, Listeners Special, the Sunday program, is your program. It's your views that are important for us. Heartiest congratulations to all our dear listeners. We are marking the 10-day dawn that 42 years ago ended domestic despotism and foreign hegemony in Iran. The 10-day dawn marks the period in which the Islamic revolution of the Iranian people triumphed over the oppressive Pahlavi regime and put an end to 2,500 years of tyranny and oppression for good. 12 of Bahman, corresponding to February 1st, 1979, was the day on which the beloved leader of the Iranian people, Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, returned home from exile and accelerated the struggles against the remnants of the Pahlavi regime. It was in 1979 that the sage of the age, Imam Khomeini, landed in Tehran to an unprecedented welcome seen anywhere in the world. Millions of Iranians from all walks of life thronged Mehrabad Airport to catch a glimpse of the return from almost 15 years of exile of the beloved leader. Over the past 40 years, the Islamic Republic of Iran has continued to cross milestone after milestone by making spectacular progress in all fields, despite the tyrannical sanctions imposed by the U.S. In other words, the sanctions are indeed a blessing in disguise. And the more the frustrated U.S. and its accomplices impose these worthless sanctions, the more determined and resolved our youths become in breaking new grounds in science and technology to the chagrin of Iranian enemies. The United States of America and the Zionist entity, the fake regime of Israel. Dear listeners of Listeners Special, please stay tuned. Thank you. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very important to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports enable us, actually, to provide a better service to our dear listeners throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. However, as you may know, these days, with the outbreak of coronavirus around the world, please don't expect a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio is temporarily halted due to the pandemic, and that's because of the international hygienic protocols. So please be patient until the disease is controlled around the world, and then IRIB English Radio will get back on track and send you the paper QSL cards and other items as souvenirs of our radio. And here I truly appreciate those of our dear listeners who have sent us letters and emails from around the world, including David Faber from Switzerland. David has sent us an email. Adam Rowling from the UK has sent us an email. Also, we have an email from N.S. Bala Morali from India. And Lalit Kumar Kaga from India has also sent us an email. And the last but not the least is an email from Muhammad Tasli Uddin from Bangladesh. A million thanks to you, dear listeners. So after a short break, I will be back with all these letters and emails from around the world. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Here we have an email from India. This email is from Lalit Kumar Kaga. Lalit says, "Hello, I am your old listener. All of your programs are very good. And here, in our listeners club in India, we listen to your programs carefully. Please send us your New Year calendar, sticker, QSL card, and other promotional items if possible. Thank you in advance." Salam Lalit Kumar Kaga from India, and I do express my appreciation to you for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. Your satisfaction, and generally all our listeners' satisfaction of our broadcast, make us more resolved and determined in providing the best quality of programs in our radio. Anyway, you've requested IRIB English Radio souvenirs or items like calendar, sticker, QSL cards, and as I have said in the introduction of our programs, this is not possible, and this is temporary. After the coronavirus pandemic is eradicated and controlled around the world, we will get back on track, so be patient. We will send you QSL cards and souvenirs of our radio very soon in the future. Well, from the UK, we have an email from Adam Rowling. Adam Rowling says, "Dear friends at the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, I am a shortwave radio listener from England and had a great pleasure of hearing your broadcast yesterday. I very much enjoyed your broadcast and found it interesting and informative. Some information about me. I'm 35 years old and live with my wife and two children in Cheshire, which is in the northwest of England. The closest city is Manchester, which is 30 miles away. I am a civil engineer and project manager. Thank you again for your excellent broadcast. I really enjoyed the very interesting content." Oh, well, salam, Adam Rowling from the UK. Greetings to you, and thank you very much for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. Adam, it seems that you've just joined us in IRIB English Radio. As you said, you had a chance to hear to IRB English Radio broadcast, as you said, yesterday in your time. Well, it's also a pleasure to have you with us as a new listener, Adam. And we're so glad that you enjoyed our broadcast, as you noted that you found it interesting and informative. Adam, in your upcoming emails and letters, please tell us which programs you like the best. We wish you all the best. Write to us soon, Adam Rowling from the UK. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Switzerland. This email is from David Faber. David says, here is a new report from Switzerland of your radio broadcast. Thank you for the quality of your programs. It changes our perception about Iran and what is represented to us by our corrupt European media. It's a pleasure to listen to you. Would it be possible to send me a QSL card? Thank you in advance and best regards. Salam and warm greetings to you, David Faber from Switzerland. We are so grateful for this email. It's also a pleasure to have you with us as a listener, as a new listener, actually. And we're so glad that you're satisfied with the quality of the programs in IRIB English Radio. And it seems that you enjoyed our programs. And as you said, the global arrogance, especially the U.S. and its allies, are trying to portray a false image of Iran and Iranian people. And this is through their media, as you said, their corrupt media. But Iran is a nation which has tried to change challenges into opportunities, you know, for all the time. And as you said, you found a true Iran, a true image of Iran through our programs and through our broadcast. What about traveling to Iran? It's a nice, I think it's a nice suggestion. Maybe you can find the true picture of Iran. Not only you, but many people can find the true image of Iran through traveling, through the Iranian media. Yes. Anyway, thank you very much for writing to IRIB English Radio, and as your request about sending a QSL card, as I've said, this is not possible for the time, and that's because of the coronavirus pandemic. This is because of the health and hygienic protocols. But as soon as the protocols are removed, we send our dear listeners around the world paper QSL cards and souvenirs of IRB English Radio. Thank you again, David Faber from Switzerland. Write to us very soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. And from Bangladesh, we have an email from Muhammad Hasliuddin. Muhammad Hasliuddin says, I'm a regular listener of your radio station. Thank you for your cooperation and friendship. I send you my warmest greetings. I like your very nice culture. Thank you for your beautiful programs. The radio is my life. Please send me few items representing your radio. Stay safe in the time of coronavirus pandemic. Salam, Muhammad, and warmest greetings to you from Iran. And thanks a lot for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. And thank you for your compliments. It seems that you're satisfied with the programs. Anyway, many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. You also stay safe and healthy in the time of coronavirus pandemic. Keep in touch. Muhammad Hasliuddin from Bangladesh. We are Looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Mohammad Hasliuddin from Bangladesh. Well, dear listeners, what about a short break? Welcome back from India. We have an email from N.S. Balmurali. N.S. Balmurali says, "Dear staff, I'm writing to you after a long time. I hope you would be fine. I like your programs very much and your website too. And especially, I like your news analysis and photo galleries and videos. And I want your QSL card if possible. Thank you. Salam and greetings to you. N.S. Balmurali from India. Many thanks for sending us this email. And we're so grateful for your commitment to IRIB English Radio, as you said. You're writing to us after a long time, but you wrote this email after, as you said, a long period of time. Now that the coronavirus is gradually being controlled, we are wishing to very soon in the future send our dear listeners paper QSL cards and other promotional items of IRIB English Radio. Thank you again for writing to us, N.S. Balmurali from India. Dear friend, please, in your upcoming emails, tell us which programs you like the best. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. N.S. Balmurali from India. And time tells me we have to skip to the next section of our program, and that is this week's interview. Please take a listen.
I'm from the UK, and I'm interested in radio and radio broadcast, and I have an interest in journalism as well as history and current affairs. Well, I enjoy activities like reading and traveling and music. These are my interests. I think they were very good, very professional. Professionally made, and I think for me, I think I learned a lot about my own country and my own society and politics in the West, which didn't allow me to learn anything about because it was so filtered and so controlled, and there was so much disinformation on the news media. You never really knew the truth. The RIB told me things, you know that. Happening and why they happened in the USA and in the UK and in Western politics in general. So I think it's a valuable having an alternative view which is a bit more creative and not so much censored by the corporations. Well, all I can say is keep enjoying listening to IRIB, you know, because there's not many stations that give you such a wide, varied reporting service in terms of what is actually really happening in the world today in terms of politics, because all the Western media is controlled and filtered and sanitized and manipulated, you know, for their own ends, you know. So they don't want you to know the truth. But I think if you listen to RIB, you know, you start learning why things happen and who's behind the news and all the different machinations of politics. But, so I think it's important, you know, so you can learn about politics and about culture.
Dear listeners, again, I congratulate you on the 10 days Dawn, which marks the period in which the Islamic revolution of the Iranian people triumphed over the oppressive Pahlavi regime and put an end to 2,500 years of tyranny and oppression for good. Here we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special Sunday program. Please keep in touch with IRB English Radio and have a good time.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
What you heard was an IRIB English Radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
A government agency known as the Congressional Watchdog has issued a new report recently shedding more light on the Trump administration's failed response to the raging coronavirus pandemic. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by Jessica Corbett, writer. This article is published under the heading New Government Report Details How Trump Failed COVID-19 Response Across the Board. Stay tuned for the details of this article, please. A U.S. government agency known as the Congressional Watchdog has issued a new report recently shedding more light on the Trump administration's failed response to the raging coronavirus pandemic. Over 430,000 Americans had died from COVID-19 by Thursday, January 28, and the country's hospitalizations, though falling, have still topped 100,000 every day this month. The report released on Thursday, January 28, by the Government Accountability Office, GAO, entitled COVID-19, Critical Vaccine Distribution, Supply Chain, Program Integrity, and other challenges require focused federal attention, is the fifth agency analysis of the March 2020 Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security CARES Act. The findings alarmed key lawmakers, including Representative James E. Clyburn, House Majority Whip and Chairman of the Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Crisis. As Clyburn put it, today's alarming report from the Government Accountability Office provides further confirmation of what the Select Subcommittee's investigations have made clear. The previous administration's coronavirus response failed across the board, exacerbating the pandemic's toll of death, disease, and economic harm. The report illustrates how the response was ineffective, lacking a comprehensive testing strategy, and failing to address medical supply shortages, inefficient, bungling the initial stages of vaccine distribution, and equitable, failing to protect workers and leaving federal relief programs vulnerable to significant risk of fraudulent activities, Clyburn said in a statement. Perhaps most disturbingly, the Majority Whip added, today's report revealed that even after GAO made 27 different recommendations aimed at improving the response, the Trump administration failed to implement them. That means only 4 of 31 GAO recommendations have been implemented. GAO remains deeply troubled that agencies have not acted on recommendations to more fully address critical gaps in the medical supply chain, the report says. While GAO recognizes federal agencies continue to take some steps, GAO underscores the importance of developing a well-formulated plan to address critical gaps for the remainder of the pandemic, especially in the light of the recent surge in cases. The former U.S. administration's refusal to act on the agency's recommendations also drew criticism from Benny G. Thompson, chairman of the House Committee on Homeland Security, who said that this report confirms what we already knew. The Trump administration failed to take any meaningful action to improve the federal response to the COVID-19 pandemic during its final month. It's inaction to address critical weaknesses that GAO previously identified, including developing clear and comprehensive plans for testing and vaccine distribution, likely cost lives and created an even bigger mess for the new administration, he added. Clyburn's office highlighted some major findings from the report, that vaccine distribution under President Donald Trump fell short of expectations, as well as his administration's failure to address critical gaps in the medical supply chain or fraudulent activity related to corporate relief programs. Implementation of GAO's recommendation concerning the importance of clear and comprehensive vaccine distribution and communication plans remains a work in progress, the report says. Moreover, slow implementation of GAO's recommendations relating to program integrity, in particular, those made to the Small Business Administration and Department of Labor, creates risk of considerable improper payments, including those related to fraud, and falls far short of transparency and accountability expectations. The report urges the new Democrat-controlled Congress and administration to act on not only the previously ignored recommendations, but also 13 new ones. GAO is pleased that the consolidated Appropriations Act 2021, enacted in December of 2020, requires a number of actions that are consistent with several of GAO's prior recommendations, including those related to the medical supply chain, vaccines and therapeutics, and COVID-19 testing, the agency adds. GAO will monitor the implementation of the Act's requirements. Thompson expressed hope that the new president will, as he promised on the campaign trail, pursue a more effective COVID-19 agenda. It's tragic. It will take a year and over 400,000 American lives lost for the federal government to take substantive action to take this pandemic seriously.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11880 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The necessity to observe health protocols and the regulations announced by the anti-corona headquarters during Muharram morning occasions.
This is part of a televised speech delivered on July 31st, 2020 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the supreme leader of the Islamic Revolution on the occasion of Eid al-Adha.
I wish to say something about Muharram. There are many debates about Muharram. People have been speaking about Muharram for a long time. Well, they will hold the mourning ceremonies one way or another. But what I want to stress is that in the mourning ceremonies, the main criteria is what medical experts, the National Anti-Corona Headquarters, announced to us. I myself will observe whatever action they deem necessary. My firm recommendation to all those who wish to participate in the mourning ceremonies, including mourning committees, those who take the minbar, the organizer, panegyrists, performers of eulogies, and the like is this. Before you do anything, you should see what they say.
Your light and love, all I see. Nothing more I'd ever want to need. My Lord, protect me from dishonor. Grant me faith to be stronger.
If the National Anti-Corona Headquarters issues certain regulations for these occasions, all of us will have a duty to observe them. The issue is not a minor issue. Rather, it is a very important one. In the present time, there is supervision and control to some extent. However, if God forbid, these measures are taken lightly, and if people do not observe them, then there will be a disaster with unclear consequences at the end. I hope that Allah the Exalted will help. I hope that Imam of the Age, may our souls be sacrificed for his sake, will take our hands and rush to our help, as has always been the case. I hope that the pure souls of martyrs and the immaculate soul of our late Imam, may God bestow paradise on him, will pray for us and ask God to bestow success on the Iranian nation, God willing. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.